There's seven of us going to share. We all got over 20 years, and we shared a couple weeks ago. A lot of us, when we lived in the houses and growing up together and stuff. And so tonight we're going to kind of share on what we learned from there and brought into relationships and those kind of things. So we're going to start off with Chris.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Chris. I've been clean and sober since October 26, 1986. I'm grateful for that. I like Rob's water better. Just kidding.
Why do I always go to Rob?
I love my brother Rob, man. It's an honor and privilege to be able to share here. I'm pretty much more nervous in front of my group than I was in Ridgecrest. My palms are sweating, my nose is running, my eyes stay wide open. I haven't blinked in about 20 minutes, and I was thinking about, okay, yeah, we get to share and share. Keep it light. And I love when I hear my sponsor can put keep it light in the greatest way, like, man, keep it light, share, keep it light, share about those tragic things that are just funny, you know. And I was like, you know what, thanks, man. The tragic things, you know what, man, since I've been sober, there really hasn't been any tragedy. There's been a lot of tough times, man, but nothing like when I drank and used and I got here and lived with the guys like you heard Dan say, and up at Ridgecrest. I lived in the houses with the guys for quite a few years, and the other night I told Paul it was kind of cool. I was looking forward to this because, you know, yeah, I learned how to interact with people living with the guys, but I almost learned absolutely nothing on how to live with a woman by living with the guys, because it's a woman, guys. It's a woman, and they think different. And but they also keep me warm at night, too. So, I'm married to Tiffany. For anybody here who doesn't know, I'm married to Tiffany, and she's an AA. And in 19, I was going back on the scale. I've known Tiffany since 1994. She's known me since 1988. So think about that one. She was a stalker. But anyways, we met. No, she wasn't a stalker. But we met in 94, and I'd been married and divorced. It was a trial. And didn't work out, and I was coming off the backside of a divorce, and Tiffany was coming out of a bad relationship, and I was living at one of the houses, at Radcliffe House, and Ruben's 22, and Ruben took me to a dance. I met Tiffany there. I looked like a dirtbag, and but I was back at the houses. The houses were, there was a couch there, and that's why I paid my $5 gas money. Is so when I really needed it, I moved in on a couch. And the $5 gas money is kind of like paying for a trailer you never use until you need it. And I was on the couch there. Ruben took me to a dance. I didn't want to go. And I met Tiffany, and she liked me right off the bat. And I liked that she liked me, and I liked her. And we started dating. And because I've only got a few minutes and I hear the ticking, we met. And we moved in together. I think I'd been over at Landfair House by then, and it was like time to move out. And I moved in with Tiffany. She had an apartment, and we'd been dating for a while, a year or so, 2 years. And I moved in with her, and it was cool. We've been through ups and downs, man. I winged it, and I still do a lot, but I've always kind of been a wing it and learn. And the great thing is I've got pretty positive input from my sponsor and his wife today. And I've had sponsors before. I had the AA couple sponsor, and Al and Kelly. They really taught me to be grateful for dating Tiffany. And we moved in together, and we've had to, in sobriety, we didn't have the prior to sobriety, growing bond. we learned sober each other's quirks and all that. And one of the hardest things, and I don't know if it's funny or not, but we did Icky Paw. And I was going with Tiff, and I was just absolutely crazy that weekend. And I think I was staying in a room with Tiff, but we had a big fight, and I was just nuts. And I remember Mike Bright calmed it down somehow. That was the one time I could think back where I didn't know if anything was going to go right with me and Tiff. But we stayed together, and we moved in, and we got a. From the apartment, we got married. I forgot that part. We got married. We had a four-year courtship, and we were engaged for two. I asked her to marry me on the backside of a long job that I used to have, and I didn't have a job when I asked her to marry me, and she asked me if I was going to get another job before she said her answer, and that was how she put it. I said, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "Do you plan on getting another job?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Yes, I'll marry you." And we got married, and we lived together. And like I said, it's been a growing thing. I look back, and she is my buddy, my best friend, you know, because I live with her. I'm with her a lot, you know. Well, not really. I mean, I'm with the guys a lot more than I'm with Tiff. I mean, really, but because I'm with my bros, my guys, I have really a lot better time with Tiff. I spend time with Tiffany, and we're not attached to the hip by any means, and it's a working thing. So I guess what I've learned from the houses with the guys is I've got a good bond that I can take in, and I don't have to necessarily act a lot different with my wife in the sense of our friendship. You know, we're married, but we're buddies, we're friends, we're partners. And we're lovers, and it's cool. We went from an apartment and got a little condominium, and I'll share this story because it was it's another one that's not funny, but I'll tell you what, it was probably the most difficult conversation I've ever had to have with a woman, okay, with my wife, Tiffany. We were in this condo, and Tiffany really wanted to have a kid, and I just wanted to have a kid because she did, or whatever, I didn't know, and it's kind of like, man, you know, if you really don't know if you want to have one, a kid, you know, you don't want to have a kid, you know, and I really didn't. And my sponsor and his wife, Keith and Sue, I was on my way to the condo. I kind of got a little, not a pep talk, but some direction, but my sponsor knows me. And I know that they support, you know, our relationship, our recovery. And right before I got to the condo, my sponsor called me and just said some things to me and reminded me. And I went in, and I had to go in and tell my wife that if she'd like to have a kid, that it would be okay with me if we had to part. And, you know, it was a lot more than that, and I won't go all into that. But I had a conversation with her, and as far as I can tell, we're still together, and she respected that, and we worked through it. And you know, and as a result, we've had, you know, many opportunities to grow up around other people's kids. All my friends here, me and Eric are just big kids, and all our friends in here, the guys over 20 years, you know, have kids, and we've gotten to watch these kids grow, man. We've gone down the road, we've had them sneeze on the back of our necks, we've, you know, had them run into our cigarettes and step on our feet, and, you know, and we've got to watch them grow here, and watch them grow into men. Like, I saw that one this morning. I didn't even see that kid. Justin was sitting over here, and he was a full-grown man. And I said, you know what? I was with Reuben a few times when that kid was brand new, and he was full of fear. Reuben was full of fear because he didn't know how to be a father or nothing. And I looked at that kid today, and I was like, man. You know, all my friends, Dan, Rick, Paul, Reuben, Rob, are all raising these kids, and I've gotten to enjoy them, and I've gotten to enjoy all the other kids around here, and it's neat. It's I've got a huge family, and what I was very fortunate that with my wife, Tiffany sobered up, not in this group. You know, I met her at a dance, and she'd always gone to AA and had another sponsor, and I brought her around here, our first thing, I'm going to go back on this, is our first date was a Sunday Al-Anon function in the park in Huntington Beach, and I was winging it again. I was like, yeah, I got a date. I got my 94 Camaro, man. I'm badass. I got my little paintbrush hairdo, and I'm like, I'm cool. And I went and picked up Tiff and said, we're going to this AA deal, and she's all, okay. And we got in the car, we went down there, and it was all one motion. It was like I got out. All my bros were there, all the guys I lived in the house with, so when we were walking up holding hands, I kind of slung her towards the women and said, you know, sink or swim or something like that. And I went over with the guys, and Tiff sat down with a girl. Her first introduction was Denise. And but anyways, really, I'll sum up with this. And I did think a lot about what's cool is I'm 20 years sober. I'm with my peers. People have seen me since day one, okay? And seen me get married and seen me go through all this stuff with my wife, up and down, and it's life. But really, that day, I was grateful that she swam and she didn't sink. You know, it was, I mean, it was literally that way. And I'll go with that as I got a tip. I said, you know, sink or swim, because that's what I'm doing, and I'm swimming. And we've been going together, and we've been going down this road, and we've been having a hell of a time. And it's a hell of a deal, and I'm glad I'm the pup with 20 years. Fortunately, Rick's not 21 yet. But all the guys are basically 21 and over this year, and I feel very fortunate that I am clean and sober, and that I'm in the group that I'm with, and I'm with the people that I'm with, my wife, my home group, their families, and the Al-Anon family groups. And if you're new here, I hope you latch on. I hope you latch on. It's an honor and a privilege to be here, and I want to thank you for listening and let me share.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Rick, come on up. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Rick. I've been sober since May 15th, 1986, and that, for that I'm grateful, and that's 10 more shopping days for you cheap bastards. I'm registered at Harley, so go ahead and put something in for me. Yeah, right. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. I can't get this damn thing open, dude. Must be my office job. But anyway, they said we're going to do this panel, and after we did the panel up in wherever the hell we were, and I thought it's I think it'll be good for us because a lot of us grew up together and lived in these houses, kind of like we talked about a couple weeks ago. We lived in them houses, and we never thought, probably when we were living in them houses, none of us would have ever thought we would have been married and where we're at today, that's for sure. Because when we were living in them houses, we were just kind of grinding and getting by, you know, eating top ramen, peanut butter and jelly, kind of like you heard a couple weeks ago. And none of us ever thought that we would actually grow up and try to be responsible human beings, fathers or whatever. And not that we chose that, I guess that's just how it, I don't even think we're responsible human beings, but we're a lot better than we were when we were in there. When we were in there, we survived, we got along. Like you heard Chris share, you learn how to get along with people. Yeah, it's different than women, but I know I learned how to show common respect and decency and respect for other people's property and space and whatnot. And so that's what I got to learn living in them houses, those guys that I got to take into my relationship with my wife today. A little bit, I was looking at Justin this morning, and Justin is as old as I was when I got here. And I was looking at him, I go, I did not look that young. And I look at the guy next to me, goes, yeah, you did. You know, yeah, you did. And I'm thinking, that kid's got a chance. And kind of like what Keith was sharing this morning about these kids, and I'll share a little bit about it later, but today we're sober. All these guys that got 20 years that do have kids, I think it's one of my key priorities is to be here and be an example and bring my daughter to the answer. Because there's a lot of crap out there, and we talked about it a couple Thursdays ago. There's a lot of crap out there in society and schools and peers and all that crap that's I don't necessarily agree with, but what we have here, there's hope for them. So anyway, I'll get into that later. But a little bit about, I think we're going to share about our wives and whatnot and how we met. And I remember I was 19 and... Thought I was hot shit running around the, what was it, a chili cook-off, I think it was, chili cook-off, and talking to all the girls, and Celeste noticed me there, and she said, she goes, look at that jerk, he's talking to all the women, you know, and I didn't even notice her there, but I noticed her at a, at the Hogue Hospital meeting, and I immediately zoomed in, you know, I found my target, and so I went up to her, and I said something, you know, really intelligent, like, hey, you work out, you know. She kind of went, yeah, huh? And walked off. So, I said, that's a challenge. So, anyway, so I don't know, I think I asked her out. Oh, yeah, I was with Al. Al Pino was my buddy at the time. And they lived, Celeste and his girlfriend lived right across the street from us over there on La Jolla, Guadalajara, La Jolla. And, so one Saturday morning, I go out there and I see this car all twisted up in the middle of the street, and there's a tow truck towing away. I go, man, that looks like Celeste's car. And Al goes, man, that's Celeste's car. That is Celeste's car. And found out she got in a car wreck that day. Some guy T-boned her coming out of there. And so about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours later, it was a Saturday or a Sunday. I don't remember exactly, but I know Al said, hey, let's go out to breakfast. You know, Celeste will be there, and, you know, you can ask her out, because he knew I was interested. And So we get there, and she's got a brace on her neck, you know, and she's hurt, she's injured, and so Al goes, ask her out now why she's weak. So I hit her up. So, hey, you want to go out? What? Yeah, I guess. So the next week she had come back and said, no, I got to do my fifth step yet. I said, well, yeah, you got to cut about a week, okay? About a week. A week I'll hit you up. So I hit her up every Friday. I'd track her down in the park. I'm like, hey, you do your fifth step yet? Hey, you do your fifth step yet? And she'd go, no. I remember one time we were in at the movies, and I ran her down in the parking lot. And she was just like, no, I haven't done my fifth step yet. And I said, well, you need to let me know when you're done. Okay? Cause, and she did. And so I asked her out. And I remember the first date we went on an Orange County convention, I think it was, right? Orange County convention? In March. And I guess her ex-boyfriend was there. I didn't know it at the time. Oh, this is a good story. Anyway, he was there, and he was stalking her, and I didn't know it, you know. So he comes to the group, and he's in the group, you know, camouflage, and I had a video camera. That's when we were making videos. Remember that? We were making videos of everything. I had a video camera. We're at the softball game with the video camera, and he shows up to the softball tournament, and so some of the guys, I was going after him. I was going to hit him over the head with a video camera. So the guy took the video camera away from me, and he showed up to Hogue Hospital and tried to grab her and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, you know what? This guy's either trying to make her, you know, either she is trying to make him jealous, or she's using me to get rid of this guy. And I remember going up to her and go, you know what? I can't do this until you handle that. And she did. She went out there and told him to get lost, and we never saw him again. And then we started dating on a regular basis, and I think we went out maybe once a month. It wasn't like today where we had every day we had a hall like this. We were going around to other meetings and whatnot. So we got to hook up about once a month. And I remember she was the first woman that I actually, had respect for, respected, and did not want to mess that up by being a jackass. You know, as much as I could not be a jackass, I tried not to be a jackass, okay? So that was growth, okay? So I tried not to be a jackass most of the time. And, you know, we hit it off pretty good. We dated for a couple, 3 or 4 months before anything happened. And I knew after about a third or fourth date with Celeste that was the person. You know, I asked her out because of her physical attributes, her beauty, and I, you know, because that's just how men are. I don't give a shit what you say. That's just how I am anyway. So I asked her out, and then I got to actually know her, and I fell in love with her, you know, and I really did. And it was she's my first true love. And I asked her, you know, about, I don't know, I was probably, I don't know, we dated for about a year and a half, and I asked her to marry me. I didn't know how to do it, you know. I got a ring, so nobody told me how to do it. Nobody said, you got to get on your knees. My dad, you know, he wasn't going to help me. None of the guys around here were like, hey, figure it out, jackass, you know. And I got a ring, and I asked her, I proposed to her out in front of Hogue Hospital. And I put the ring on her, and she took off like a gazelle, you know, and ran it. It's just a different story than she'll tell.
but I'm speaking that now, so. So she runs into the bathroom. I'm like, hey, want to get an answer? Ring cost me $6,000. So she comes back out. So she comes back out, and I think she said yes, and we got engaged. And so anyway, we got married, and I'm like 19, and she's a little older than me. And so there was an issue with the kids and whatnot. How much time I got? 4 minutes? Anyway, issue with the kids, and we thought, oh, we'll never have a kid. And then we said, oh, well, we're going to have a kid. And we tried to have a kid, and it wasn't working out. And then said, okay, we'll have a kid. And anyway, the story goes is we weren't going to have a kid, so I was walking around. Keith was my sponsor at the time. We're walking around Boeing, you know, doing our little up 2, 3, 4 around the plant. And I go, yeah, we're going to get a dog. Yeah, we're not going to have any kids. We're going to get a dog. And he goes, yeah, all right, get a dog. Like, yeah, right, dude. So anyway, we get a dog. You know, I'm huddling the dog. And about 6 months later, we decide to go on a trip to Ohio and or Iowa to Randy's to build a motor. And we went there for a week, and we ended up hooking up. She came out, her and Sue came out to a convention that was in South Dakota. And I remember all the guys that were there at the convention that I met there, and it was Todd, and then those guys were there. And Celeste gets off the airplane, and we hook up, and that's where Jackie was made. And Keith comes up to me and goes, see there, kid? You hang out with your sponsor, put a little extra zip in your stuff, smack me on the back. And I'm like, boy. So anyway, I remember the night she told me she's pregnant, right? We were cooking, and I was tired, and Keith comes up to me and goes, hey, man, you know what? Go home, man. You're tired, dude. You need to rest. I'm thinking, what the? He never says that. You know, go home. I'm tired. You know, I'm thinking, all right, cool. So I go home, get on the internet. I'm paying my bills and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. And she comes up to me, and she hands me a Father's Day card. And I open it up, and it's a sonogram of a baby. And it did not click that she was pregnant. So I go, what, is Zoe pregnant? What, they do sonograms on dogs now? And she's like, no, jackass, it's me. We're having a kid. So anyway, that changed my entire life. It changed everything that how I thought, my thought process, my priorities, everything. And I want to talk a little bit about when Jackie came into our lives, how obviously our lives changed because our priorities changed. My priority was to stay sober, obviously. We'd gotten married. We bought a home. Celeste got pregnant. We had a child. And the reason we're able to do that in that order, in the right order, which is instead of having a baby and then going and trying to buy a house and being broke and whatnot, we did it in the right order because there's people here that told us there's a right order to do things. And we ended up having Jackie, and it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life because it was a game changer for me. And I believe, by listening to the meeting this morning, I believe we are obligated to be an example to our kids, to bring our kids to the answer, to give them the best shot we have. I see a lot of people that are normal people, that are good people, that have problems with their kids. So it is not just alcoholism. It is alcoholism. Our number one priority is alcoholism. But I want to provide the best that I can for that daughter and that wife. And there's a lot of things that I've had to make sacrifices. There's a lot of beliefs that I believe in, and I don't give them up for anybody. I've had to tell my parents to pound sand. I've had to tell my friends to back off. I've had to tell a lot of people, this is what I believe in, this is what I'm going to do, and I don't care what you think. And I've had to have my mom herself tell me, you know, you're an arrogant, jackass, MF-er, you know. And later on, she came back and she says, you know what, I was wrong, you were right. I respect what you're doing. And I believe that's part of our teachings here. And if you can't, and I can't give those principles up because they're not popular. Because at the time with my mom, it was not a popular decision what I did with her, and I got a lot of flack for it. And I'll share this one story as Dan wanted me to tell it. Celeste doesn't know anything about it, so it's going to be a surprise. So anyway, we're jackassing around at my house. And this is the kind of shit we did in the houses that I probably shouldn't have done when I was living with my wife. All right? So I remember when we were living in these houses, we used to load our own ammo, okay, for our guns. And we in order to make sure they were quality assured, you know, we would put them in our guns, okay, and jack them back so all the rounds would go around the cylinder so it didn't hit the edge of the gun, for those of you that don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But anyway, we'd do that with like 600 rounds, and we never shot a hole in the floor. So we got pretty confident, you know. I'm like, hey, we're pretty good at this. So Dan and I were at my house, you know, and I got a new, we'll call it a
more than finger fire weapon, okay? And so we're loading this thing, and I'm like, yeah, man, check this out. And I load it up, and I hit the trigger, and it just, it lets go, man. Bam! Right on the floor, man. And Zoe, my dog's in there. She starts running around the room, and the room fills up with smoke, and shit's flying everywhere, and I hear the garage door open. Let's go. Mom's here. We're hiding the shit. So we open the window up.
Okay.
Zoe's running around. She's like, if she could plug her ears, she would have been. She had her head. She was hitting her head and whatnot. And I'm trying to, there's holes all over the floor. So I'm picking up the carpet, putting it in the holes. And right when we're like, we shut the door and walk out, and Celeste walks in the door. Dean and Dan are standing in the hallway like this. She's like, what's up, guys? Oh, nothing. We got to go. And we left, man. You didn't know anything about it, huh? Yeah, see? We're still good at it. All right, thanks. That's it.
Good times, huh? Paul.
Thanks. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Paul. Been sober since March 8th of 86. Grateful for that. Glad I'm here. Glad I'm sober. It's one of my favorite stories, too. boy, it's cool to have the opportunity to share the art label. I wondered about that. I'm glad to be here, and I wasn't much of a dater when I was new sober. I wasn't much of a dater out there. And in fact, when I sobered up, I kind of reverted, you know, to like 13-year-old kid, pretty much, I guess, as far as that went. I was the kind of guy like knew I'd ask girl, well, you don't want to go out with me, do you? So I wasn't exactly tearing it up, and in fact, I didn't really start dating. I was about 4 years sober. I was really, really damaged. And I remember I was 4 years sober, and Eric told me one night over at the Cook Park meetings, "Oh man, you might get laid this year." And, oh yeah, you think? That I hope so. But I had some, you know, misadventures and stuff. But and I dated for a bit and stopped. Short story. But we were having that book study over there off of Lincoln, and I said hi to Tanis, and he called me a couple weeks later and said, you know, hey, you want to go out? And it's like, yeah, okay, you know, and. You know, so we did. We started dating, and by then, you know, I was able to, you know, comb my hair consistently and eat with silverware and stuff. And I remember the first place we went had, like, linen napkins and stuff, and it's like, you know, test time, you know, exam, how to carry myself. But, you know, we were dating for a bit, and I remember my sponsor told me, she was a practicing attorney at the time, and my sponsor said, you know, well, you know, we think you're, too into self to be, you guys might hit it off because we think you're too into self to be intimidated by her intelligence. And it's like, well, that's good, right? You know, and so we did, you know, we went on for a bit, and quite a bit, actually. We just had our 14th anniversary a couple days ago. Yes, thank you. And we were together for a couple years before that. I remember I was 5 years sober when we started dating. And we ultimately, we got married. You know, I popped the question. I went to, I got the ring and stuff, and we just got back from Cleveland, Icky Paw, and I remember I had it in the glove box, and I opened it up, you know, it's like, here. And she accepted. I guess she'd already mapped it out, and we had some trouble with the dates and stuff, and but ultimately we got married, and we were at the reception. I remember all the guys, I kept doing this semi-formal, I made a flyer, semi-formal wedding, you know, which I don't even remember what that's supposed to mean now. I think a tie or something, and the guy showed up in shorts, so it was funny. But we were at the reception, and, you know, I was raring to go, and he said, we'll be here when you need us, and you will. And I remember thinking, I wonder what he means by that. And, oh, I found out. And, you know, so we went on for a bit, and like I said, she was a practicing attorney at the time, and somehow that stopped. And I was a little surprised by that, because I had plans, and, you know, I had a lot of plans for her money, And it was tough, you know, it was tough for a long time because we did have a lot of expectations and didn't know a lot of what that, you know, meant. And, you know, like Chris said, with, you know, girls are different than guys. You can't kick them out if they don't have the rent, you know, and stuff like that. It's like, hey, man, what the hell? What's going on with my plans, you know? And but it got really, really tough. And after a couple of years, I don't even know if it was that long. It was October of 94. We ended up at Keith and Sue's house, and you know, I'm pretty selfish guy into stuff, and I remember Keith saying, you know, she's in a depression, man. Do you know what that is? You know, and I remember it's like, wow, she was moving kind of slow, I guess, you know, and holy cow, you know, and but they really did help us that day, you know. I joke about it, but that was a real third step, you know, event for me because you know. I was trying to catch up to people I didn't even like, and they're not even here anymore. And looking back, their lives were more unmanageable than ours was at the time. And it's like, why am I doing all this crap, you know? And he put his arm around me later that day, you know, and said, now is not the time to have a kid. You know that, right? And it's like, you know, I'm good with that. And you know, ultimately, a couple years later, I guess it was time to have a kid because we did. And I remember Mike was our sponsor, and we were cooking at the Miller Hall, the Dynamics Hall, and all the guys he sponsored were cooking every meal for like 3 days. It was Labor Day weekend, and I remember it was hard. He was yelling at us and stuff, and Keith was like, he came out of the shop and said, hey, you better get going. Tannis is going to have a baby. I'm like, yes. All right. Yeah. I don't have to get... And she didn't yell at me at all while she had the baby, so that was good. And but we went through that, you know, and we brought Sam home, and it was neat. And we've had a good time. And I remember once a hamster escaped, and she was trying to lure it back into its cage. And I remember telling me later, they really make good eye contact. And I remember that must be why she has a lot of faith in me. I mean, it's like, if she can have that much, you know, empathy for a hamster, you know, maybe like, that's good, you know. I know I'm still in the running. And we had Sam, and, you know, we were over there at the old house. We moved to over there in the old neighborhood, and after a while, it was time to get out of there. I was at the shop one night, and Keith asked, you know, well, how's it going over there? It's an old house. It was an old house, 1941 it was built, and it has a gas leak. Oh, it's okay. It's got a gas leak, and he's like, that's called a bomb, dude. You know, why don't you guys try, you know, see about getting out of there, you know? And the guys, he took us around and drove us to some places, and we tried to take a shot, you know, at some stuff, and it was kind of hard down there. We're having, like, felony stops right outside the window, like the stops, like, you move, you know, the cops got the guy with the guns on him, you move, we're going to blow your head off, you know, stuff like that, right outside the window. And, you know, Sam is a red-haired boy, and he's at the school, and he's drawn himself with, like, black hair and stuff, and it's like, no offense to the Raza, but that's messed up, man. And we're getting out of here, and moved up this way and to a better school for Sam, and just all that stuff, and all those things have been a consistent process of, you know, just trying to listen to suggestions, listen to sponsorship. You know, when I was 13 years sober, you know, Mike, I had to change sponsors because I was trying to follow a man who was empty. He wasn't in AA, and he wasn't here, and I was empty, and got Keith as a sponsor, Sue is Tannis a sponsor, and you know, we've been able to grow. I know I've grown hugely since that time came because I started getting support, you know, and I've tried to pass that on to the guys I sponsor, and you know, my wife, I love her very much, and we started, we just continued trying to practice the principles and be loyal to each other. That's what we learned in their living room that day, is that, you know, all that other stuff's just BS, you know. It's a matter of loyalty to one another, and trying to be committed to the program, you know, and as a result of that, we've been able to stick it out, and our lives have consistently gotten better, and got a lot of help, and Sam, he's been doing good, you know, he's been doing really good, and, you know, they have green, yellow, and red, and he's been getting greens, which is good, and it's been good. One time, he got a blue, which, that's like a felony stop, I guess, you know, and I think that's when he told the blind kid he had spiders on him or something like that. Something messed up. Yeah. And it's like, you know, and with all those things, I've had to help with a sponsor, you know. And I remember one time we went to Chris's, and I'm grateful for Chris's house and what, you know, my friends have done and Keith and stuff. Sam had an incident at the hall here. I think he peed in the wastebasket in the babysitting room. And I went over there to the, you know, house, and guys are all, how's it going? It's all great. I'm going to beat my kid's ass when I get home, you know. And they said, no, calm down. Stay in the pool, man. Let's have some steaks. Let's watch, you know, forget what it was, the Wild Bill Deadwood, you know. And by the time I came home, he was asleep and everything was cool. And, you know, it's just things like that that have, you know, helped me, you know, grow and be a better person. And, you know, I owe it all to you guys. And our life is really good today. You know, my life is good. Just don't want to sound like a braggart or whatever, but objective data, you know, we looked at some things recently, and our loan lady said we were gold star credit, basically, and our, you know, things are really good. I mean, we have tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt and tax liens and stuff like that, crying in front of the tax man's house, you know, and she was crying too, and, you know, but we had to work through all that and stay put, you know, and today that's not the case. And you know, she works hard. I remember when she was going through all that stuff, she's like getting up at 3 a.m. to go work in a cannery or something, you know. And I remember how selfish I was. It's like, well, where's the lawyer shit? Come on, you know. And but I had to, you know, start thinking of someone besides myself. You know, for me, that's a lot of what the vows are, I guess. And today, you know, fast forward, whatever you want to call it, it's really good. We're solvent, you know, and our house is in order. I have a life insurance policy. You know, we're both gainfully employed, and, you know, it's good. A little while ago, I got promoted, and that was really good. And I remember telling, well, I'm going in early now. And she's, oh, good. Now you're getting up when I am. And it's like, oh, where's the sympathy, you know? But it's good, you know, and I'm really grateful for her program and what she does. All those things that I said, you know, with the life insurance, all that stuff, I would not have that if it weren't for her. I would not have that stability, that consistency, that ability to live in the normal world, whatever you want to call it, out there unleashed, without the stability of a woman in my life. I'd be living in a mushroom room or, you know, unwashed dishes, all that stuff, you know, and I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. So, you know, I'm grateful for the stability and the support of a home group and a sponsor, and also for the stability and the calmness of a one woman in my life and what she does with Sam. She does all the heavy lifting there, and I'm very grateful for that. We have a good life, and I owe it to you guys and, you know, what we've been taught here. And I'm very grateful to be here. I was excited about the opportunity to do this. You know, we did kind of the PG version of the first five then, and you know, the thing is that the most of the guys who came in with us are gone, and we don't know where any of them are. So, you know, the people who are left, you know, thousands have not made it. So what we do today is a result of what works, not what doesn't. And if you're new here, you know, you can have it too. I hope you can. And glad I'm sober. Thanks. Thanks, Paul. Eric, you got your water? All right, okay.
An alcoholic, my name's Eric. Been sober since January 14th, 86, and this is a cool deal. Yeah, I spilled my water before the meeting started, and free drinks, and it's been good hearing the guys, and about 10 years sober. I was getting divorced. My first time I proposed, I went to the company store, got a ring on credit, told her, meet me at the Jack in the Box, and slid it across the table and said, oh, what do you think? You know, and it was from the heart, and she took it. And, you know, and that was ended badly, and with the men's ode, and, you know, and I was in ragged shape at 10 years sober. I was on the brink. I did a first step at a job at a place called Bethlehem Crown Fasters. Anyway, I was a warehouse guy. And I was talking to Keith, and I was talking to Keith, and I was living with Henry. Henry was drinking, and but I was more depressed than Henry was. And you know, and he said, maybe you need to drink. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I do need to drink. And I wrote a first step, just like when I was new, in a break room on that job. And I called Keith back and said, I can't drink. I cannot drink. I can't. He's like, well, I wouldn't then if I were you. Like, okay. And we got that out of the way. You know, and I was at the houses. They let me back in the houses. Well, and I went into Lanford at first, and Eddie was the house mom. And they were, they got animals, a cat or something. But I was going to turn the change the TV channel, and I put my arm down, and it was covered with fleas in about 10 seconds. And I didn't want to complain, you know. And I was going to school full-time at Fullerton College. I was working, night shift then for a security company, Big Dan, what up? And, you know, and going to meetings all the time. And the next day I said, yeah, man, I thought I was going to be late for school, but luckily all the fleas woke me up. And so then they got to clean the house, you know, and started dating. He said, you know, you got a date. I'm like, I don't want a date. And I was getting divorced, and he said some other stuff after that. I'm not going to say it. But I said, all right, I'll date, you know. And I was like friendship dating, and everyone's like, oh, it's fun, you know. And I got to where I didn't want to be fun anymore. And, you know, I called Lanfair, and I'm like, the girl's Lanfair house, and I'm like, hey, what's up? You want to go on a date? And I think it was Mary on the phone, and she's like, what about you and, I can't remember, Vanessa. We were kind of dating for a little bit. What about you and Vanessa? I'm like, there ain't no me and Vanessa. I'm like, you want to date or not? She's like, no. I go, well, you put somebody else on the phone. You know, and, yes, I got a date, and got a big date. I went on a big date, and we had fun, and I was just like, man, and Saturday night, so I was like, everybody's couple, so I'm like, you get in my car, all these new guys, I had the hoopty, you know, and I'm like, get in, we're going to have fun, you know, and Sue had come along, and somewhere in there, I started working aircraft stuff again, and then we got Russell a job, and I had to go pick him up in the morning, so my job stuff started getting more stable, because I had to get the other alcoholic. I can't leave the new guy, especially Russell. He was all feeble, and everybody loved him, you know. I'm like, I gotta get that guy, you know, so I started getting on, you know, a little stability there. I always went to my meetings, and I got a new gratitude just to be in an AA meeting and still be sober. And Keith had been telling me you should ask out S.U. Sue. And I'm like, I don't know. And, okay. So she was doing a fifth step also, or working on her fourth step. And I remember asking her about that. And, I'd be like, doing fourth step? No? Okay. All right. Yeah. Sloth. Put Sloth on there. And we were at the hall, and we were doing something, and CD was standing. I'm going through the speaker line or something, and CD's standing smoking. She's like, Eric. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, she did her fifth step, and I was like, oh. I'm like, okay. And our first date was Victorville Convention. You know, and I asked her to go, and Ruben, we were going in the car with Ruben, and I did a lot of stuff with Ruben and some other girl, and I'm glad Ruben has Kim in his life now. It is cool. It's almost like, should we just kill her now? No, let's see how she works out. So you're doing good, huh? And I was like, yeah, we went to Victorville. She's all, what about the rooms? I'm like, what about it? I'm like, I'm gonna play it whichever way she goes, you know. And we're separate rooms, right? Yeah, separate, of course, you know. But we started dating. I was like, man, we picked her up from her mom's house, and I'm in the back seat. We're in our road clothes, and she's dressed for the convention already, and she's coming out, and she looks around at everybody. She's like, you know. I'm like, we're gonna put our nice clothes on when we get there, but I remember I was like, wow. You know, she's pretty hot, you know, and we talked, and we're just talking, and me and her are talking, and I'm all hypnotized, you know, and she liked Keith, she liked Sue, she liked the guys, she liked our group, she liked her group, she liked her sponsor, she liked the program, she liked working the steps, she liked newcomers. I was like, wow, you know, that was totally different than what I just escaped from, you know. And I was like, man, this is cool. He's smart, you know. And I was like, let's get it on. So we dated for about 9 months, something. Hey, I was pretty obsessed,
And then we had space. We had to do space. And we had to work the steps on the board here in front of you guys, like real stuff, you know, and get it out, get her done. And we were on space for like, what, 5 months or something? And then we started dating again. I called Keith. I was working at another little aerospace place. And John Escoda was back, and he was working with me. I just sleep, grilling, and I'm just whipping around. I'm like, ah, and I called Keith. And at this time, I documented, well, I was in this relationship after I've been divorced, and it went bad, and that went bad, and that went bad. So it's about time for this one to, you know, go bad. And I go, oh, yeah, and so I'm pretty much probably going to hang it up. And he goes, you're stupid. And I go, what? And he goes, you're stupid. And I go, stupid. Stupid how? Stupid. You're just stupid. You know, because I was like, you know, I should just cut this off before it goes bad, you know. And I'm like, man, stupid, stupid. Hey, John, you think I'm stupid? He's, you know, and one time he told me, you better do something or you're going to end up in a cracker factory, you know. And I honest to God, I flipped a coin 7 times in a row, and it came up the same every time. And I was like, okay, 7's the number of completion. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going, you know, and we started dating again. And I, man, it was, but I was wacky, dude, I'm telling you. I know it's hard to believe. I had Canadian Paul in the car. I'm like cruising by her house, you know, and Paul's like, hey, blah, 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 what are we doing? Shut up, Paul. And I go up, knock on the door, and I propose to her at the house. I remember calling Keith from a payphone. And I'm like, she's not back from the meeting yet. So after I give her the ring, you know, then what are we going to do after that? He's all, well, you need to see if she says yes. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And that was a cool night. And I proposed, and she said yes. And we had the quad wedding, cheap, you know, and up here at the group. And it was cool. And we got our first place. I found a little place called Sturbridge Village. And we went over there to look at it, and I'm like, man, I hope this is cool, man, I don't know. And she cried. She cried. She saw the place, she started crying. I'm like, it's just an apartment, man. I'm like, you sure it's all right? And she said, I slept on a foam mat for 5 years in L.A. The apartment's fine, you know. And one thing that we've always had is an understanding of I'm an alcoholic. She knows what that is, and really, she understands that. And we both understand, the wheels fall off if we're not here, and that's been an understanding, you know. And I started on that job at Pac Bell. Another alcoholic gave me a lead on that, and I started working over there. And we got different places. And one day Keith said, "Hey man, Andy needs to get out of that condo over there. See if you can what you guys can do." And I thought, "Oh, you gotta be kidding, you know?" And I said, "Okay." And we ended up getting in over there, you know, homeowners. Homeowners, you know, and that was amazing to me, you know. And I've had, problems at work, you know, with work, and she doesn't. She's an employee of the quarter, and the year, and that's up to a year, you know. I'm like employee of the minute, you know, and I've had to learn some stuff about myself and how I affect people, you know. And she's always worked a program, and she's always supported my sobriety, you know. And we got the cats, and that was good. Those were her ideas, and you know, they've been good. I love them, and I've gotten to go through some stuff, you know, with her that hasn't. It's not always fun. It's not, we don't come home, I don't say funny stuff and she sings all the, you know, that's not how it is, you know, at our house, you know. And one time at Sturbridge Village, I remember I was having a lot of trouble with work, and my sponsor called my house, my apartment, and I said, yeah, what's up? And he saw, hey, dude. And he said, your wife has been having long conversations on Sunday night with these guys, and I knew JD, and I didn't like him from the bat, you know. And I said, whoa, I stood up, and I said, what am I supposed to do with that? And he said, for every, you know, tick, there's a tack. You've been doing this stuff and flaking around, and she got her covers pulled, so don't worry about her, but what are you going to do, you know? And I had to look at myself, you know, and
And I've had to look at myself over and over. But I'll tell you what, today, quick, we're current, you know, we are homeowners, we're living pretty good, you know, and I feel good about what's going on, and I take care of a lot of stuff, you know, and I always would take care of things with some money, not necessarily my money, you know, and I'm taking care of stuff with my money, and keeping our house, you know, going, and she does a lot there, and I love her for that, and I was sure she's good looking, so I know she can't cook. She's a great cook, and she's a great member of Al-Anon, and the best thing I'm going to say this and shut up is when Keith and Sue, 3 weeks ago, whatever, went through that deal, and me, we'd sit on the patio, and our sponsors, Sue and Keith, our old-timers, don't hold stuff in, so when Keith was talking about, you know, what was going on at home, and then they do this, and they do that. I'm like, yeah, I know. And horrible, you know. But he finished it on a Thursday night at this podium in front of all of us guys. This is where I was wrong. This is where it started. And I was wrong all the way through. And we're making amends, you know. And that's what I got to see, you know. Otherwise, if I don't have Sue in my life, I run you off the road, I punch you in the face at work, and then I drink. You know, and then I go to Charlie Street and go, well, I don't know what happened. I was doing great. You know, I need people in my life to help me with that stuff. I'm serious, you know, and I'm grateful for that. And that's it, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Eric.